Hello and welcome to the 12th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by Nashville FC's former St George's and St Mary's defender, Liam Doyle. Liam, welcome back to Podcast HQ. Thanks for coming in, joining us today. How's the jet lag? Because you actually only arrived back this side of the Atlantic yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm actually okay. I managed to sleep yesterday afternoon and then slept last night, so I feel all right.
You do look remarkably fresh, and we should just say you've been to the gym already.
Yeah, you tell he's a pro athlete.
Right, we've got lots to discuss today, including this season that saw you named Nationals Defensive Player of the Year and make the USL playoffs. Before we delve into that, and of course we've got all the usual stuff later, like Combi Corner and Dave Reads the Weather, haven't we, Dave?
You say usual stuff, usual guff, mate.
Yeah. Liam, can I tempt you with a biscuit? You know, you've already declined off, Ben. Yeah, jammy dodger, go on.
Cheers, mate.
They get your dad better than the Maryland cookies, yeah?
Yeah, well, you see, last time the fallacy that was Maryland cookies was discovered, wasn't it? Jammy dodgers.
You got found out,
then. Yeah. Well, this is it. We've tried to get Tony to stock his more American-style biscuits in the co-op, but it's not working, is it?
Well, what's the best biscuit in Nashville? Have they got any good ones?
They actually sell Milka over there now, the chocolate.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's probably the favourite.
Milka is a growing
Oreo
brand.
Milka.
Yeah.
They're nice, man. We've got a lot of them, though. They'll go down well later. Right, Liam, you've had a tremendous season. I'm going to read out the stats, which is on the Nashville.
Finish your biscuit, mate.
Finish your biscuit.
Yeah.
33 matches, 32 starts, 222 clearances. That's the second most in the USL. Scored one goal and racked up an assist. Completed 1,030 successful passes. And you were, of course, as I mentioned before, named Nashville's Defensive Player of the Year. You've had a good year, right, mate, haven't you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it last year. The USL, obviously, you play a lot of games. We played even more in the Cup and just managed to stay in and consistent. And I think that's half the battle, just staying injury-free, touch wood. And if you're there and available every week, then hopefully you can keep playing.
And we obviously had you in this time roughly last year.
Yeah.
You were going to Nashville. This was a new team, really, yeah. Wasn't it? You obviously spoken to the manager Gary Smith,
yeah.
But it seems to have been the dream move, really. You played consistently. You've got a good team around you as well.
Yeah, it was like for an expansion team, you're not meant to win the league. Obviously, we didn't win the league, but like we competed well. We had a good stint in the middle of the season where we beat Colorado in the Cup, and then I think we could have finished higher in the league. I'm sure everyone's saying that, but. We didn't score enough goals, but then when we did score enough goals, we conceded too many goals. So it was just one of them where we were figuring things out. And I think like next year we'll really challenge.
Well, the season culminated in a place in the playoffs, didn't it? And for you personally, and I spoke to you a couple months ago about this, but slotting home a penalty in front of over 20,000 people, that was a pretty special moment,
yeah,
wasn't it?
We actually missed a few penalties in the season, and I was on penalties for a couple of months and we didn't have one. And in the shootout, I always knew I would be on the list because I was on penalties, and when we were in the circle, he's like, do you want one? I was like, I'll take one. I was like, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
But then I was first, and there was quite a wait because they were sorting whatever out, and then the ref was like, you're first, and I was like, well, get me a ball then.
Yeah.
There was no ball, and you're kind of like nervous and you're antsy, so.
But yeah, that was 7,000 in front in that game, was something silly.
No, that was Cincinnati away, yeah. So it was like over 20.
Yeah, it was obviously Cincinnati, we should explain, and now they've moved out of that league because they've taken up an MLS franchise in March. Those of you who follow the MLS on social media, that they're currently in the process where you can actually take a player from each of the existing clubs or something, or you can choose five, don't you, or six or something like that.
Yeah, it's the expansion draft, so like each team can protect 11 players they don't want to lose, plus like homegrowns, so kids from their academy, and then Cincinnati can pick any player from that isn't protected, and they have to take them on their current salary or contract.
Justin Hoyt, our Championship manager, fans might
legend.
Remember him. Yeah, he's
invincible.
He was Arsenal, Barnet, and various other clubs. Now he's playing his trade in America. He's just signed for them. But this is the path that Nashville will go down eventually, isn't it? So when you're in 20 next year,
yeah, 2020. So 12 months time, this will be Nashville doing all the same things.
And how much of their USL squad of Cincinnati retained, have they started from scratch completely?
I think from the playoff game at the end of the season, there's 10 or 11 signed.
Wow, so another good season, Liam, and you could be in MLS.
Yeah, that would be the hope and the aim for sure.
Right. So I think we've watched, me and Dave have watched a lot of USL highlights this year, as I'm sure a lot of people on the Isle of Man have, and apart from the annoying commentary, which is very American, I have to say, I watched the goal of the season roundup the other day, and it was, the guy's in the score zone, and it is very cliched, you know, and I'm sure they do a great job.
Very
and,
obvious.
Yeah. But the quality in the league seems to have gone up a notch this year. I know that's from me looking inside, and obviously you playing it every week. Yeah. But this obviously you say there's Joe Cole's playing in it this year with Tampa Bay. There's Didier Drogba retired this season after Phoenix. His Sean Wright Phillips was playing.
Yeah, he retired this time last year.
Yeah, so there is a lot of good pros playing in that league now, but it does seem to have gone up a notch, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, they've rebranded a bit. They've got more leagues under it now. The money's going in more. I mean, you know, you can't get away from the fact that money will drive the standard, the business and stuff. And I think they're going to be a better league overall, like I was discussing off air, that the players' union is hopefully coming in. So I think it'll grow all as one together. Obviously, the MLS is the main league, but it'd be good to have a second league that is like right behind it.
Well, I think remember we had you in last year, you were saying that the crowd figures were comparable to some of the best second tiers in Europe, weren't they?
Yeah.
In Nashville, the Nissan Park, aren't you? Which is...
Yeah, sometimes we play at Nissan, sometimes we play at the baseball. Nissan holds like 80,000.
But you have a good following behind you in Nashville, don't you?
Yeah, we average 9,000, I think.
Which is
good.
Which
is
really good. You know, you'd probably be envious most League One clubs.
Absolutely, yeah. So, well, you mentioned quality and the goals of the season. We have to bring up your free kick again, because that was a great goal he scored earlier in the year.
Yeah, I hit one good one early in the year, and I thought, right, I can score a few more now. And some of them would go top tier, some would hit the wall. And yeah, I don't know, it's just the way I hit it. Obviously, I'm relying on to get through a gap or something. Like, it's a very hard technique to whip it over the wall. But maybe next year, with likes of Rios and that coming in, I won't get too much of a sniffer. Yeah.
We mentioned Rios. He's, of course, the first official signing of the MLS side, but he's going to be loaned to you guys. It's all quite confusing, but he's going to be loaned to you guys for this season coming, isn't he? But he's played, as you said before, you faced him this season. He was in the USL already, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on loan in North Carolina from a Mexican Premier League club, and I think he's 23. He's very good, clever forward, good finisher, and I think that at 23, I think maybe they see the USL as, you know, he's got more growth in him.
So yeah,
they see him peaking at a time where they go MLS, which is, you know, he'd be a great player to have.
And of course, he's one of several transfers that's coming in over the summer. How does that sit in your head? Are you thinking, oh, this is going to be harder to keep my place now and I'm going to have to up my game? Or do you think, I'm one of the established players, it's up to them players to try and knock me out of the place?
I think that, like, even last year, we were strong defensively. We had a strong defensive squad, and I just, like, them coming in, obviously we're going to be better. I need to keep playing well, I think. And if you don't play well, there's more chance you'll go out of the team than maybe if you had a lesser squad. So you need to be on your toes.
Because one of the USL Defensive Player of the Year, he's fullback, he's signed, isn't he?
He was in Team of the Year, King. Yeah, Darnell King.
He looks like an attacking fullback.
Yeah, he looks very, very quick.
And then one of your ex-teammates at Swoop, he's coming as well.
Belmar as well, he's another big goal threat. He's probably the fastest player I've ever played with, so he'll be a good addition. He's like a left winger.
Yeah.
And you can pick one of those trademark Liam Doyle balls over the top.
Yeah, hopefully I can find them a few times. Yeah.
What have you noticed about has changed most in your game in the last year? We look at the clearances and the passing, it doesn't actually surprise me that much. You've always been known for your getting in the way of stuff and getting rid of it. And you've always actually tried to play your way out when you can, haven't you? But has there been anything you thought, actually, I'm impressed myself this year with my stats?
I actually played with a lad in Harrod in my first year professional. I played with him again this year, and he'd said how much he thought I'd improve. But honestly, within yourself, like, you don't know, you can't really tell that much.
Mm.
I just think I've been more consistent than I ever have. I think, like, previously I would say have a few good games and I'd make a mistake. And when you make a mistake in defence, it costs goals. And I think I cut them out more than I ever have before, which helps, because I think that as a defender, you know, you want to get on the ball and pass as much as possible, but if you keep a clean sheet, you feel like you've done your job.
So, yeah.
To an extent.
and stats are so big in America. Oh, yeah. Me and Dave, we started watching the NFL show on BBC, which is great, isn't it? But every week, the stats, you think Opta's got football covered over here, but it's,
the NFL.
It's mental, isn't it? So is that good as a player to have that sort of information available?
It is very good. Like we have something called, like we have Y-Scout and Instat. So after every game, we'll get sent an email where it has like any stat you can think of on there, and then it has like all your actions in like one video cut, and then or you can break it down to like passing, tackling, heading.
Wow.
So you can go and see everything you did that game. So it is helpful.
Do you agree with your latest Footy Manager rating?
You shot up in value, Liam, to be fair.
You still weren't sad for Andy, though.
Yeah, I'm trying my best, mate. You're just not having it.
I haven't really played it in a few years, and I mean, they look all right. So
you're up to about 300 grand now, I think, worth on the, which is not, you're by far the most expensive, well, if we discount KT, most expensive Manxborn footballer on it. But yeah, you seem reluctant to move back over the pond.
Really?
Join my York City revolution.
So that might be why.
Right, let's talk about next season coming then, because you've got, obviously, your deal continues into towards the end of next year. You've already sort of alluded to it. This year, you want to be pushing up towards the high end of the table, is it?
Yeah, I think that like everyone can see the players we've signed so far, and I'm sure they're going to add a few more. That like next year, we should be competing to win the USL. Hopefully, we can have another run in the Open Cup, because that's always good. You know, you play against the MLS teams, and then we should challenge. I think there was a stage last year where we were looking like we can challenge, and it just didn't quite happen. So
I noticed it seems to be that some of the MLS teams obviously have their second teams in the USL. Some seem to treat it more of a progression than others. Like obviously, I think for some bizarre reason, the Canadian team seem to struggle their second team.
Yeah.
But elsewhere, they're using it as a pathway, aren't they? Is it just every club has a different policy how they use it? Or
I think like every club has a different philosophy as well. Like Swope Park, where I was, they use it like it's half first team, half lads they want to develop, and they can really compete. New York can compete. I don't know if Toronto, like they obviously want to put young lads in there for games, but I don't know how bothered they are about the results, because they've obviously struggled. So I think at some clubs there's more of a connection than others, and you can see that by the results. Yeah.
And we talked about it last time, how academies are now becoming more, maybe more prevalent than the draft system you came through. Is that still the case? Is American football embracing that academy culture that we have in Europe?
Yeah, I think college has dropped off a little bit, and I can't see a way that it can sustain a similar level, because when I was at Swope, there was four lads who signed USL early on 4-year deals. Like the part of the deal was you'd have your college paid for and you're playing professional football for 10 months, where if you play college, you get your education, you can get that now in USL, and you play for 3 months a year.
Yeah.
Why would anyone choose that over playing? Yeah.
It's fair enough, isn't it?
It just shows a culture shift, really. Yeah. And in the same way that everyone's been talking about Atlanta United this week, and obviously they won the MLS, you know, almost pretty much straight out of the blocks. Joseph Martinez is everyone's go-to man at the moment. There's even rumours that he's going to come to the Premier League. And they are almost that culture shift into, no disrespect to the MLS, but of bringing players in at the end of their career. Now they're trying to grow them, sell them back to Europe then, and then more Moneyball, essentially. And it's interesting that the philosophy is changing throughout American soccer, isn't it?
Definitely, though. You look at them, and like, if you were ever going to say anyone's done it right, they've done it like perfect. Like them, we played against them in pre-season.
The picture I used on the sweep was against you against them.
Like them players, obviously, they're in their prime, even just before their prime, South Americans, they always can play. And I think like their model, like if you look at their infrastructure, their stadium, training ground, it's unbelievable. And you know, I always read on Twitter about what's going on now, but Minnesota came in, did it kind of the opposite to Atlanta. And then when other teams come in, LAFC as well, they have like Carlos Vela and stuff. Yeah. So they've shown you how to do it, I guess. So for other teams coming in, I guess something like that model is proven.
Yeah, and that's what they want to follow. But just before we move on to Twitter questions, Atlanta were managed by former Barcelona. He's leaving, isn't he? So do you think that'll make a big difference to them?
I think like New York Red Bull is another like signature club, and they do things right there. Like Tyler Adams has just gone to Leipzig, I think, and like they've had a few changes in coaches over the years, and still, because of their philosophy and the way they play, they've managed to stay the same. So yeah. Atlanta, the way the whole club is, I can see them staying where they are.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'll be a loss. He's managed Barca, Argentina, but the way the club is, I think they'll get it right again.
Be interesting to watch. And it is in the league now that's coming up more and more on the radar, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
After Combi 2, of course.
Of course, well, yeah. I can't argue with that. And Division 2, the best league in the world, yeah.
Right, then, Twitter questions.
Yeah, first one's in from Nathan Halsall. Now, we talked about your free kick earlier this year. Have you seen Nathan's? It was on online a few weeks ago. It was on Soccer AM.
Soccer AM, goal of the week.
Nathan's always had a very good left foot and
wind assisted, we said in brackets.
Yeah, you probably should, as another lad that should be playing first team more and more, but I don't know how.
We played the week of your wedding, decimated Manx football, but he was played again the Railway Cup semi final against the Georges. Unfortunately, he lasted 89 of the 90 minutes. We're getting a second bucket at the end, but yeah, he, as you say, he's got potential.
He's
a talented young lad. So anyway, he asks.
So his question for you, he wants to know, is it coming home for St Mary's first and Combi?
I think St Mary's Combi are definitely going to win the league. I mean, it looks that way.
Yeah.
And you know, I think St Mary's first team, I'd say they're slight favourites right now because they've played what you would call one more harder game than Peel.
Mm.
No, after tomorrow they would have played one more harder game and they're 2 points ahead, so...
They got the game in hand.
Tomorrow's a massive game, I'd say.
Massive. It is big. And Russian, we've talked about him off air, rejuvenated by the signing of Dan Hattersley.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him a bit later on and that game. But yeah, it is a big game. But these are the games. You're going to be champion. You don't do it easy.
Yeah,
you've got to win. And I think this is the most competitive the Premier League title race has been for years.
It's just great to see, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about it all season. But I think St Mary's, you know, when they... They lost that game to Geordie's in the cup that you were at, Andy. It was 4-0. It was a bad day at the office.
Yeah.
But they bounced back.
It's all Liam's fault.
Yeah. But that's it. Yeah.
Vinny Dale actually blamed me. But my wedding was the week before, and it's not my fault they went off all over the world.
But they bounced back with that win against Corinthians last week, Darren Hutchinson hat trick. So, you know, they've already almost put it behind them.
Yeah.
So they'll go into tomorrow full of confidence.
I think when you win the league title, you have to do it with the squad.
Yeah.
I know Frank and Jack are massive players for any team they're playing. But, you know, as we've alluded and mentioned, that the Combi are flying. They run 15 out of 15.
15 out of 15.
There is a bit of strength and depth there.
They have Jamie Skillen playing.
Exactly. Nathan, you know, there's players that can come up and do a job. It was just one of those days, unfortunately, for St Mary's where the gods conspired and the travel agents, didn't they? question from Frank, one of the man himself. He says, it was a set of various questions from Frank, which we've edited down. Who won the boat race at your wedding? Now, I've actually seen social media clips of this and it looked pretty competitive.
I have video on my phone. It wasn't competitive. The Isle of Man won easily.
Well, I think you had a star turn on your anchor leg, didn't you? Moffy, was it?
Yeah, Moffy, he picked up with his mouth. We had like Ryan Downey, you can open his throat. Yeah, there's no comparison.
And did the Americans take the defeat well?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
fair play.
They did.
I can't argue with 80,000 alcoholics clinging to a rock.
Frank also asks, which I think is a fair question, this, and if you can do it, hopefully we can start a campaign to get us to get one. It says, why haven't you got a blue tick on Twitter yet?
No, we got emails last year about sending your info into USL and they were going to get us all blue ticks and we're still waiting.
Still
USL.
Waiting. So still he waiting. Said he it was attached with a hashtag, let's get Doyle a blue tick. So I'm quite happy for us to, we'll get a bit of momentum behind this. In the same way, we're going to try and get Football Manager to put Isle of Man as a place of birth on Footy Manager.
It says England all the time, right?
It says unknown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have doubles on there now, don't they?
No, I don't think so. You can't change Isle of Man as a nationality either, as in your manager.
You can put your hometown as Douglas.
Oh.
Well, that was on last year's one, maybe. So.
You think Douglas in Scotland, though?
No, it's definitely Douglas Isle of Man.
So. Well, we'll have to look into that, as Tony Merton would say. Next question, Dave.
Yeah, this one's come in from Callum Sherry. He's asked, who's the best player you've ever played against?
I think... I obviously played against Drogba, but he was older. He's not he's the best player by name and what he's done, but like Josef Martinez last year was at the time he's in his peak, nearly in his peak, he's the best player I've ever played against. He was phenomenal.
Right.
His movement and pace, he's powerful, he's never where you hope he'll be, kind of thing. You know, as a defender you wanna know where your foot and he's always off the shoulder or something.
So I was going to ask, do you prefer playing like a player like Drogba, who's more physical and it's more of an aerial dribble, and do you prefer someone that maybe likes to keep it on the deck, where you can sort of maybe read and intercept stuff more?
I think like there's like three. I think there's target forward, which you know it's going to be a battle, and some days you hope you win more than you don't. And then you have, I don't mind playing against players that are just fast, because again you kind of, they're predictable. But like Martinez he's fast. He's clever. He's little, but he's got that South American build, like big legs, and he's strong as well. So he's so unpredictable, which is very hard to play against.
Sort of ties in with the next question in from Nathan Slattery as well. Who's the hardest individual striker you've played against?
I think you've already answered. Yeah, Martinez.
Martinez is hardest, but the strongest. Like last year, we played against Addy a few times. I've never felt a human that's that strong.
Who's that? Sorry,
Fernando Addy for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh wow! So is he gone up with them to the?
Yeah,
MLS?
They signed him early on an MLS deal, and he played the second half of the season in the USL. And he's a Drogba type striker, and I think he's actually stronger than Drogba. Phenomenally strong.
That's looking at his FIFA stats, mate. Next question is from Gozzy, Andrew Gosnell. He says, this is a tough question. What's your 1 to 11 of Manx players you have played with at club, Isle of Man or MIFA? Now, we've put you a bit on the spot here, but you might have seen it. He tweeted you last night. So
yeah, he told me he was asking this as well. I think I'd mostly go with the lads I played with in the 2014 MIFA.
Okay.
In Sweden. I think Max was in goal.
Yep.
I think, obviously, Johnny wasn't on that trip because of the nationality rules, but Johnny at a time, he was phenomenal. I'd play him right back.
Ooh, shift of position. Okay.
You play anywhere, Johnny, just to fit the rest of them in.
Okay.
And then I would play Quay and Seamus, centre-back.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, not much getting past them. Yeah.
And Judge, left-back.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah, Andy would have kicked you out if you haven't.
You can't have Judge in there. Best covering fullback you'll ever see.
Mr. Consistent.
And then I would have Connor Doyle on the right.
Good shout.
Bassey on the left.
Yeah.
Frank and Jack in the middle.
Okay.
And then Callum and Pecker up front.
Callum and Pecker. It is a pretty
very modern
team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of old-timers who I know, but I played with them, I was around them more, so I like to pick them.
And you not slot yourself in, maybe?
No, I'll happily coach that team. That'd be fun.
A lot of personalities to coach there, Liam.
Next question is in from Agent Rashid. He says, hi Liam, hope you're well, congrats on the wedding. He also, now this ties in with the previous question, he wants to know your all-time five-a-side team made up of Isle of Man players you've played with or against. So, from that 11 that you've just picked, who would you omit to narrow it down to five?
Only two from that 11 will make my five-a-side team. Completely different game, isn't it?
Yeah. I like the way he thought about it.
This is good.
So, do you know Agent Rashid? Do you know his identity? Yeah.
That would be my team.
We can't confirm that.
He has been in for the last year's Christmas special. He brought us a mug, which had a tea.
So, you're on the media secrecy with him.
We signed the
official
secret act with him. Although if we revealed it, we wouldn't be allowed back in Ramsey again.
Yeah, basically. So
actually, three will make that, because we played in the business league 1 year, the futsal,
right?
And Johnny played like sweeper keeper, and he was phenomenal in goals as well.
Really? Okay.
He could play out from the back, so Johnny in goal.
Yeah.
Then I'll play Jack. Brian Crellin. Phenomenal at five-a-side.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Connor would make it as well. Very technical. And Marky Priestnell is also phenomenal at five-a-side.
The silver boot leader at the moment.
Even with his bun hairstyle. So.
Jack give you the defensive option there?
Yeah, he can play centre back, and he's very good on the ball. So.
Still no place for you in that lineup, though.
I don't need to be in it.
I suppose with five-a-side team, you'd have to come up with a humorous name as well, wouldn't you, for a team name? Is there anything? Well,
you probably hear us saying Amsur all the time.
Yeah.
Just call it that.
Nice one. Right, William Brown, he says, who's going to win the Railway Cup, and do you need a Peel shirt to borrow?
I do not need a Peel shirt to borrow, and I think it'll be a very good game. Peel are doing well.
Mm.
But I think Geordies have, Sid back, Joe Quayle back. I'm sure all the big guns will be fit and available, so I'm going with Geordies just to win.
I think,
For me, if they still have everyone fit and available every week, I think they're more dangerous than anyone. I just think it's getting them out there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. They also seem to be reveling a little bit this year, being under the radar a bit. You know, the pressure's not there at all, really. Whatever they do. I must say, the semi-final, they didn't play particularly well, and they won 4-0, which is, we say, is a sign of a good sign. Yeah. You can always tell how well Jordan George is playing. Well, not necessarily, because he does go back mental at the drop of a hat, quite literally. Bassey Senior was giving them a rollicking, but I think it was just because they weren't playing
particularly well. To get Joey back in the goals, that's a big plus for them as well. Obviously Bassey, Pecker. You look at that team; it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, Peel are a bit of a different beast, aren't they? They're more of although Reese and Lee have been playing very well this season, they were a very strong unit.
You watched Peel play, didn't you, last week, and they were pushed hard in that game.
A point was probably fair, but Rushing were feeling very cross with themselves, for want of a better phrase, for letting a two-goal slip.
We have to say, I've seen Peel play a few times this year. Now, I know it's something we've always associated with Geordies, is that never-say-die attitude with them. They never give up. Peel this season, they've shown a lot of that character.
Yeah.
Against Rushing last week, against Corinthians in the semi-final week before, and earlier in the season against them as well. So, it's going to be good. It'll go all the way to the wire, I think.
This
two late goals, Peel, haven't they?
I think
this must be a fit team, which is a big... Well, it's half the battle, I guess.
You're telling me this is going to have extra time, isn't it? It's going to dominate my Boxing Day, I think, is what you're saying, Dave.
You don't know the way.
2 o'clock? Yeah. 2 o'clock kickoff.
I'm going to watch Liverpool Newcastle, so.
Oh, well, you have to keep an eye on Twitter then, Liam. All right, next question is from Danny Jensen. He says, how often does Liam use his right foot per season?
Not much, but there's a few times this year where I played right centre back, and you wouldn't believe it's like a whole different world. Honestly, like your angles are different from where the ball's getting crossed. But I enjoyed it because, like, when I would have the ball, I would obviously use my left the whole time, but I'd have like different.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sometimes some of the clearances were a little iffy.
Giving out, kick it out.
Yeah.
Well, you racked up 222 of them, so it would be interesting to see what the stat breakdown was left to right foot.
We've had a couple of questions in from Steve Burns. So he's first things first, how is your second soccer career progressing, i.e. your coaching?
Actually coaching a lot. Youth soccer in America is booming, to say the least. And it's frustrating at times that it's very expensive. It's like it's almost a middle to upper class sport.
Mm.
But I'm coaching a lot in private sessions. There's an app called Coach Up where, I can coach like one or maybe small groups, and then we did some clinics and stuff. So I'm coaching a lot. I still need to do more badges, I guess, and it's something that I want to...
Would the club help you do that, or is it something you've got to do off your own back with the badges?
This is another player union thing that the US soccer's always got these badges on, and it's almost impossible for us to go because of our schedule. So they're trying to get some set up, like off season, maybe shorter ones, accelerated, where we could go and do them, because there's so many players who do want to coach, and you can't really say to your manager, oh, I've got a coaching course to go for. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like Steven Gerrard did his UEFA A while playing for LA Galaxy, but the FA would come to him and they would let him send videos in, but it's Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
But they're going to hopefully help us do it more, because a lot of us want to do coaching.
And why do you think why is it so expensive to play? Is it just the pitch higher, or what?
Like, it's a completely different debate, and the fees to play at these clubs are astronomical.
So you subs?
Like, a lot of them are travel teams, so you've got to pay to travel, hotels, the kit, it's nothing like it is here, or it's nothing like it should be. I think, like, the MLS and professional teams... And they obviously do have their academies, but hopefully they can keep growing. So you get the kids who can't afford that.
Mm.
That's what they're missing out on, really.
Well, it's a strange concept, because you'd think American football, with the equipment that you have to wear for that, would be more expensive to play than it would be than soccer, because all you essentially need is a football and some kids.
Yeah, but I can tell you some of the clubs and some of the fees may be off it, but it's annoying, some of the stuff that goes on.
So they're running them like businesses.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. Next question from Steve. Steve says, have you got over seeing Sam Black being overly tired, emotional at 9:45 a.m. during the England-Sweden World Cup quarterfinal?
Yeah, Steve and Ryan came up to visit in Nashville, like the weekend of that game, and me and Sam obviously live in Nashville, so we went to an English pub to watch it, and yeah. England played well. There wasn't much stress, but like Sam like loves watching England, and he was on edge the whole game.
Oh, what was he like in the quarter, in the semi final?
I wasn't with him in that game, but yeah, I'm sure he was a mess.
And a few questions in from Paul Jones. First one is, what advice would you give to a young footballer and their parents from the Isle of Man who dream of being a pro?
I think that, like, it's obviously, there's no doubt it's hard to get off here and play pro. And I think guys like Jonesy, Lewis, Dicko, you know, they're getting more players even from when I was away. But then you get the whole thing of, well, we've got a lad down the road, you're here. But I just think you've got to keep going because, I mean, I turned freshman at 23. That's very late. There's many other routes you can go down. The Myersco, I think, is a fantastic route. I think Sid and them are doing very well.
Sid and Jack, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully they can kick on and get something. Like, America's another route. Although I said before, America is maybe tailing off a bit. But for the foreseeable future, it's still definitely a good option. And I think that, I don't know if you have to be different, but I just think that you need to put the work in that maybe other people aren't.
And believe in yourself as well. Yeah. You have an unwavering belief that you can make that.
Yeah, definitely.
So you'd be mentally tough to do
it. Yeah, because you're going to get knocked back. You're going to get people over here, people away saying you're not good enough, you're too small. But I think if you believe, your family believes, there's no reason why you can't make it. I would say that, like, if you can get over to the mainland at Myersco or something and just get in the system, you give yourself much more of a chance.
Don't think anyone's ever said to you, are you too small?
Yeah, too small, too big, maybe.
But Myersco now, we talked about this the other week, seems to be Preston, linked in with Preston now, yes. Which is a championship club, obviously. And as you said before, if you get in at one level and it doesn't quite work out, you can maybe drop down one or two and then come back up.
There's also, like, you know, you go to Myersco, like, there might be a lad from the Isle of Man who goes to Myersco and say he's technically very good. He might not be suited to English football, but there's plenty of other. You know, I played with a lad, at Robin Shrewt at Nashville, he played for Birmingham in the Premier League, and then he went down to League One. He just hated the Stars, so he went off to play in Norway for a few years and absolutely loved it.
Wow.
So there's so many teams and clubs out there that I think that, there's something for everyone.
Good answer. Paul asks, what advice would you give coaches who work with those players?
I think, like, there's like, coaching is a hot topic these days on, like, what's right, what's wrong, like, is it, should it be competitive at youth and all that. I think, like, everyone's so unique that I would say coaches, especially at the young level, should just, like, everyone has their way and philosophy. I think just encourage, let them be what they're going to be. I mean, results will come. Obviously, like, at any level, even if you're 10, you want to play and win. Is that the be-all and end-all? No, it's not. Development is. I would say, just maybe try and get as many opportunities for them as you can. Be open with them. Yeah, it's a hard question.
Would you say that it's also, it's almost like you need to believe in it a lot. It's a long-term project as well, rather than...
Yeah, it's not just going to happen. No. I think, like, Alex Gibson's been over here a lot of times and he'd speak about, like, the work you need to put in. And that, there's actually more football resources on the Isle of Man than you think. There's a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's enough people who've been in the pro game that can, like, can help parents, can help players. And I think parents and should, like, a young 12-year-old's not going to pick up the phone probably and ring, but I think parents should be open-minded in asking for help, like Rick Holden. Like, why could, like, I'm sure Rick would take a phone call off a parent. Dicko, Jonesy, you know, there's other people. And I think, I mean, we speak about it all the time, but, like, I would come home now and obviously happy to speak to parents and help. And I think maybe the FA, like, Anthony Moore's home today.
Right.
He's a college coach in America. Yeah. Like, people should be setting things up maybe, or getting them involved and picking his brain or picking opportunities.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
you know, there's some good resources that maybe aren't used enough.
So what age did you... Okay, every kid wants to be a footballer. Most kids. Did you think, actually, this could be a reality? Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, I was, like... I was talented when I was younger, and then I went through a stage. When I was playing here, a thing where I wasn't fit, I wasn't in, like, any shape to go and play professional football. And then when the boys went to America... Like, you're thinking that's a good idea, and at no time at the start of that did I think I was going to go on and play professional football. Like, Connor and Jack, Anthony, Alex, they're all very good players as well, and they didn't make it. And I was just, so I was playing in junior college, Cincinnati State. I started to get fit, started to play well. And then when I went to Ohio State, I thought, now I have a chance, because it's a massive school, massive resources. Players had gone professional from there before. And I think at that point, that was when I really started to chase it.
So that's what the point I was going to try and make is, you saying that 12, you know, yeah, you didn't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Every 12-year-old will say, I want to be a professional footballer. But
it can come later than that if you keep working at it. Yeah,
definitely. I think, like, you know, situationally, like, when I was 18, 19, I was playing over here, and if you'd have asked me or someone then, they'd have been like, there's absolutely no chance you're going to play. And then just getting in a system that had produced, like, the college system produces pros every year, so I was in that and managed to get in a good place physically and then just kick on and take advantage of it.
And I think that links back to what you were saying before about your teammate in Nashville, I forgot his name, but who played in Norway. It's looking at, not maybe looking outside the box, isn't it? Not just thinking, I need to go into a English professional league club's academy and take it from there. Go to Norway, play, you get spot. If you look at Graham Potter, who's the Swansea boss, he did it with his coaching career. Yeah. He went out there.
The lad at Östersund, the English lad, who's doing very well. I mean, there's no, like, everyone want to play in England in the Premier League, but, you know, it's not a reality for everyone. No. So, like, there's many other ways that you can be in full-time football and be happy and,
Make a career out of it. Fantastic. He's got another two questions for Paul. Go on.
All right. Well, we've already sort of answered that one about full lads thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he also asked, if you could do one thing to improve the game on the Isle of Man, the thing that would have the biggest impact for players of all levels, what would it be?
I think in terms of a play, like, there's two sides. I think there's a facility side, maybe, and a playing side. Like, I think, like, the whole UEFA thing is, it's gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much gone. But I think, like, the getting in, what Guernsey and Jersey are doing, that I think that'll be available forever.
Hmm.
Anyone could, like, if we had the money, we could do that. We could set it up tomorrow.
Club side.
Yeah, the club. I think that is probably the way. I think another thing for young kids is, if you've got a team playing in the Conference North, let's say we have a team in the Conference North in 5 years, something to aim for.
Mm.
You know, there's then a direct path from St. George's under-14s to a semi-professional club. So I think that would be very important. So you're getting to England, I think we could do more facilities over here. And I know it's easy to say, like, the ball's phenomenal. I'll never understand why Bermehague wasn't made full size.
Yeah.
It's nearly there.
Yeah.
No, that could be another great resource. Maybe in America, there's a lot of indoor.
I was going to ask you that.
Obviously, the weather over here is challenging. Yeah. It is in America in a lot of months. And I think if we could have an indoor.
Well, Tommy Clucas is a fantastic facility as well.
But a full size version.
Yeah, we need a full. Yeah.
That would be unbelievable, I think.
Well, question I was going to say then, which has completely gone out of my head, but was about, that was it. So you said a club into an English league system, but in the same way we've talked about maybe taking a path to America, to Norway, to Australia or whatever, what about Manx team joining maybe the Northern Irish league system or the Southern Irish league system? Would that equally work as for you, or would you think an English league path is better?
I think the Irish leagues are suffering financially, and I think they maybe dropped off where they were a few years ago. I think, you know, it's back to money again. Like, the money in English football is phenomenal. Like, there's conference games on BT Sport every week, and I just think what money could do for you. Well, not what money could do for you, but I just think that English system has more benefits than the Irish one. The Irish one, if you reach the Premier League in the second year, that's it.
Yeah.
So. Not, it's not it, but that's your tier, I guess.
You could then play, like, most of them play Europe, don't they?
Like the Europa League and stuff, that would be very good, but I think I would say the English one.
Yeah, long term. Right, let's have a, while we got you in, look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. You've managed to straddle the pages with the fixtures this
week. Just to confuse you, mate.
You've mentioned it already, massive game for St Mary's. They travel to Port Erin, the Costa del Port Erin, and Rushden United this weekend. And a game that will I'm not going to say he's going to decide the title, but it's going to go a long way to defining the campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, a huge battle. And obviously, they're both going into this match on the back of decent results last week. You watched Russian?
Russian, yeah. The abundance of strikers, seemingly, to me. Mike Williams is putting... I was sceptical. They put him into central midfield, but he had a good game last week. He's just a beast, isn't he?
Yeah.
But to be honest, he tackled well, he tracked back. I thought that maybe there are elements of the game where in the midfield you have to do a bit more defensive spade work, but he was great. Danny Hattersley took his goals well. His free kick was a peach off the bar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get my phone out quick enough to record it for you, but there you go.
Chris Horton did, didn't
and he? I think Chris Horton's got it. So it's on the official Peel YouTube channel, and I'm pretty sure...
He posted it?
Yeah.
A goal from another team.
Did he? Oh, I'm not sure. Wow. Well, I'm presuming it. Dave.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I
thought he only posted Peel goals.
No, especially you wouldn't... Maybe not a Spaniard's goals, if you think about it. But I know that Ray McMullen got it as well, so that's on his Facebook. But it is a peach off the bar. But yeah, he just adds another dimension. Him and Josh, you know, you wouldn't fancy playing against them too, would you?
No, they'll be a right handful, them two together. Yeah.
But then Samaries on the flip side of that, they're pretty solid defensively. Obviously, Albo's not playing as much this season because of his injury. But Carl and Connor Birch has played well when he's dropped in at centre back.
Well, Alex played well apparently last week against Corinthians. Did well. Obviously, Carl's there as you said. Declan Cummins is doing well. Jack's back this weekend.
Yeah.
Frank, you look at that team. It's a phenomenal amount of talent in it. So this is going to be a cracker, I think.
Can you call a winner, Dave?
I think St Mary's will sneak it.
Do you think?
Just.
I've got draw written all over me. Yeah, score draw.
Do you think a draw would be a good result for St Mary's?
Yeah. No, but this is what we've said time and time again on the podcast this season. Conceivably, you could lose 3 or 4 games this year and still win the title, which is great for us. So I think the key is not to panic and just keep going away, because Russian were out of it, weren't they? They lost about...
Yeah, coming up on the rails now.
Yeah, and now they're up to third.
If they beat St Mary's, they'll go level on points with them. Granted, they'll have played more games, but they're right in the mix. So.
And the old cliche goes, Liam, it's better to have the points on the board, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think if St Mary's win this one, they're right in the driver's seat, and if they draw, it's still a good result. So that's, it's a good...
It's a massive game.
Yeah.
Are you going to say St Mary's win?
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to go for St Mary's 2-1.
Ooh. Nice, precise scoreline as well.
Who's going to score? What minute?
I don't know what minute. I think Hudgie's on fire, isn't he?
Last week.
Yeah, Frank likes a big goal now and again. Jack set pieces, so I think they'll be a threat.
And Frank won't get his annual Boxing Day outing now. He's probably got all that pent-up sprout aggression. Yeah. So, he could be a good bet for a first-time goal scorer at Croke Lowy tomorrow. Talking of Peel obviously lead the way at the moment. They make the trip to, I'm going to say, Western neighbours. For a sort of derby of sorts. They should be heavy favourites to claim the win in this, but that round pitch sort of compacts it all, doesn't it?
It does. We have to wait and see whether this game will actually go ahead. But, yeah, look, we've seen last week, we'll come to this result in a minute, but the Douglas Royals result against Old Boys, it shows you that anyone on their day can beat anyone in the league.
Mm.
I think it'll be a step too far from around in this one, but it should be a good little battle.
Dave Brill had them set up, though, and they'll go into battle for this one.
They will. Peel, they'll be bored by that comeback last week, but I think you're right, they should be...
And Gaylor should be back from New York.
He was on my flight yesterday, actually.
Was he?
From Dublin to Armagh.
So he's back. They're a bit of team.
Official.
So see if he can force his way back into Falky's plans. I'm sure he'll be at least on the bench. Rhys Oates, we should just touch on him briefly. He's probably the form player in the Isle of Man at the moment.
Another
great game last week. He's not. I was saying to Eric on the phone this week, I've seen Peel maybe 3 or 4 times this season, and he hasn't. There hasn't been a game where he hasn't stood out.
Likewise, yeah, agreed. He always makes something happen. He could be down and out as a team, and they were against Geordie about a month ago. They were 1-0 down at half time, and he sparked the game into life in the second half, and he's just that sort of player. So
I've never really seen much of Rhys, but Dicko speaks very highly of him, so he's very good.
He's come on leaps and bounds this season. And I was going to ask you, Lee, but the talisman for Peel has so often been Lee, especially in the last couple of seasons since Ash went and Josh had left. Now Rhys is emerging as this force. That's only going to be good for both of them, really, because if you're a defender, you're going to think, all right, I'm just going to look after Lee, and then suddenly Rhys. But it's probably largely why they are where they are, is because of the form of them two players.
Yeah.
But yes, it's not good. Going to be, I think there might be monkey brains at the Crosby, but they're going to be more of a commiseration than a celebration, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. If Dave Bruce got to do it, he might try and get the Peel boys to have the monkey brains before the match. Might help them. So,
big win here, Liam.
I think Peel will win easily. Yeah. Okay. No disrespect to Brown, but
Corinthians versus Douglas Athletic. Now, Corinthians, how do we sum up Corinthians' season, Dave? It's been not as good as expected, or are they? Is there a bit of a struggle going on there?
Well, I think you
struggle
know,
for form, I should say.
There's a few things going on there. I think you know they've had the added pressure. They had the silverware last year, so they are a target for everyone now. Mm. But they've had a few injuries in defence. But because they're a target, I think people raise their games against them. You know, we've seen it in the past with other teams, but I'm sure Danny McMahon's not happy with some of the results they've had recently. You know, I think he's got some cracking players there. Dan Simpson's in good form. Ryan Burns is back and playing well at the back. In this game, yeah, they should be too strong for Dafka. But you never know with the picks, really, do you? I mean, they had that draw with Douglas Royal a couple of weeks ago, but now we see in hindsight that might not have been a bad result after what they did to Old Boys. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game, but Corinthians should be too strong in this one.
Liam, I'm going to put it in inverted commas because I know it's not second season, but is it second season syndrome at Corinthians? Is it a bit like after last year's highs, they're struggling to replicate that?
Well, I think everyone else has improved. So I think last year it was mainly them and Geordies. Geordies were tailing down a bit. Corinthians were tailing up. Now, Geordies are obviously not quite where they were, but they're kind of still there. And like Peel, St Mary's, rushing are all. Mm-hmm. Corinthians maybe finding it tough to maybe there's a little gap again. I don't know.
I think we talk about it. It's one of our podcast buzzwords, Dave. It's consistency, though, isn't it? And I think that's something Corinthians potentially always struggle with a little bit. But that's only something that comes with time, isn't it? With experience, yeah. And we were talked about it already in the podcast. Georges and Peel maybe haven't played brilliantly at times this season, but have still ground out the result. Yeah. And I think Corinthians maybe just. Maybe a season away from, or if they keep the lads together, from getting that streetwise, you know, nature.
That's why you have to respect Geordie so much, because they just did it year after year. And now it's...
And made it look effortless.
It's going to become more, like, it's going to look better and better, because you're going to see situations like this where teams are struggling to maintain it.
Well, as Danny said to me the other day, he just put it bluntly, that things just aren't going our way. And they're getting bullied a little bit, but they will learn. So it sort of ties in with what you're saying. So it's that other side of the game, isn't it?
And they've got to say, Dafka, this looks like a home win to me, but as you say, has the squad list been released? Is the Wolf
back? I'll find out for you now. I haven't seen it so far.
The Wolfie...
Do they release the squad, do they?
They put it on their Facebook page most weeks.
Dave's managed to hack his way into most clubs' Facebook groups on the sly, under very various different pseudonyms.
That's half the battle for a decent game. Everyone has all their players, and this time of year, there's all kinds of work to do.
It was interesting. Last week we had the Douglas and District lads in, and their manager said, "I just want the lads to be straight with me and say I've got work to do."
That's fair enough. Yeah.
And say, right, we'll just work to accommodate that, you know, rather than going, and then being actually half of the player that you are normally, and then you're putting your team in things. And I think that's quite a refreshing attitude.
That's fair enough.
To answer your question, no, they haven't released their team yet.
Right,
so.
Okay. Breaking news, unbroken. Right, Corinthians win, we all going for a home win in that one?
I think so, yeah.
Laxey versus Old Boys. Now, Laxey seem to have turned a bit of a corner in recent weeks, Dave.
They have, they keep plugging away. It was a good performance last week by the sounds of it. Again, Old Boys going up against them, they'll fancy their chances after that result against Royal. Yeah. So it's going to be a tough game, this, but... Yeah, Joe Walters has been the main man for the Miners, and he got another goal last week. Yeah, they were on the wrong end of a 3-2 scoreline, but for them, that was, in reality, it was a good result with the way the season's panned out. So they'll take plenty of positives from it. But I have to say, there's been a lot of drainage problems at Glen Road recently. There's been a bit of flooding off the bank there, so I don't know what sort of state that pitch is going to be in. The one
Pat McKinnish will have been there with the buckets, don't worry.
Yeah, I hope
maybe.
So.
Bloody getting the pump on. Now, they'll have the fire brigade down doing it, probably, is it?
That's it, yeah.
Foreigner. But, yeah, I don't know. This is two teams that are traditionally strong. Obviously, Lexi have had a tough season. You know, a lot of squad left, a lot of kids left. the old boys seem to start well, but now we're talking about tapering and fading away. They've faded away in the last few weeks.
I think, yeah, old boys, I mean, they've got a lot of good players there. Just, I guess, week to week, they never know.
Yeah. So
I think Liam Buckley said there's probably a few too many players that are out there on the Friday night prior to that game last week, so hopefully they won't make that same mistake again. Yeah.
So do we think Lexi can get a bonus point out of this one, Dave?
Yeah, I reckon they'll be well up for it, yeah. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw, but then again, old boys, they'll be looking to bounce back, so they'll start as favourites.
Yeah, I'd say old boys.
Old boys. I'm going to say, just because it's Christmas party season, I'm going to say a draw on that one. Last game in the Premier League this week sees Douglas Royal, fresh from their 6-2 win over old boys, which you hinted at in the last couple of minutes. Dave, take on St George's. Now, can they do it again?
It would be amazing if they did, wouldn't it?
It would be a Christmas miracle, wouldn't it?
It would. But I don't see it happening, no. if I'm brutally honest, no. That result, 6-2 against Old Boys at Blackberry Lane, is a fantastic result for any side, really. Yeah, but for Douglas Royal struggling against relegation.
Taylor Andrews, Chris Anderson stood out in that.
He did.
Ando, rolling back the years.
That's it. And yeah, you mentioned Taylor, he got a hat-trick in that game, so full of confidence. And they're on the home turf this time. It's going to be windy tomorrow, we know that. If this game goes ahead, that could play a huge part in this game. But Geordies, the Railway Cup next week, they'll want to warm up for that on a high, won't they? Yeah. So I can't see past the Geordies win, to be honest.
Yeah, Geordies will win.
Big win.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of their biggest wins was against Royal in the
26-0 or something.
Even thinking Sean scored 4 or 5 that day from centre back, so it shows you what was going on that day. Right, JCK Division 2. Liam, as you know, you're a fan of second tiers, I know that, and JCK Division 2 is certainly serving up its share of excitement this year, isn't it, Dave?
Well, you keep on describing it as the best league in the world. And
the best league in Europe.
In Europe, sorry.
USL.
Yeah, USL is the best, yeah. Can't argue with that.
Foxdale versus Bullrose, a big clash at the top. Obviously, big question mark, because although the sun is cracking the flags at the moment, the forecast is absolutely rubbish. Although, I don't want to steal anything from Dave Reed's weather.
Absolutely, Kieran Dyer.
So, Foxdale to Bullrose, if this goes ahead, should be a belter, shouldn't it?
It should. This is first versus fourth. There's only 3 points between the teams. Obviously, Pulley are top now after Youthies lost last week. All signs point to this being a really good game. Foxdale have just been quietly going about their business, whereas Pulley have been sort of making more noise. You know, they've got Steedo back. Fantastic player to have in the Premier League, let alone Division 2. Mark Priestnell leading the way.
The top-knotted wonder.
That's it. So, you know, there's going to be goals in this one. Jay Chatwood for Foxdale's in good form. So, yeah, this could go anyway. I wouldn't like to call it.
Pulley, this is going to be a sign of their title credentials, really, isn't it? Going all that way to Foxdale and coming back with points.
Having Steedo in Division 2, I can't see. I think he'll.
Is that almost cheating, Liam?
Yeah. You know, it would have been nice to have him at St Mary's for one more year with how they're doing.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to see how we got on with this project. Yeah. You know, more settled side, because obviously the last couple of years has been a bit more turbulent behind the scenes, and he was taking the player coach at one point. So him just concentrating on his goal scoring.
I can't believe that he will not score tomorrow, so he's definitely going to score 2 or 3, I think.
So, yeah, if it goes ahead, I don't know, Foxdale, JR's got them playing good. They're quite resilient, aren't they?
They're a very good side.
Pulley are quite young, apart from... So this, you
Mark
know,
and Steve.
Yeah, this is going to be a test for them.
It will. Foxdale's game was called off last week, so you know they might not be as match sharp as Pulley, who beat they beat Jim's 8-2. Mark Priestnell got 4 goals in that game, so yeah, that match sharpness might come into it a little bit, but yeah, Pulley will start just as favourites. But
you've changed my mind, Dave. I'm going to go for a Pulley win, even though I love Foxdale. But
you do. You're still waiting for that flatbed celebration with the trophy. Yeah.
So Pulley.
Yeah,
Pulley. Youthy versus Millennium, as you mentioned, Dave. Youthy lost their unbeaten record last week.
Yeah, as we say, Mary's Combi now, the only unbeaten side
in senior men's football. Yeah. They take on a Malou team that are still in that top four mix, aren't they?
They are. I put my preview this week. I don't think the table really tells a full story for Malou, because they've got games in hand over all the sides above them. If they were to win their two games in hand over leaders Pulley, they'd be joint top. So it just shows you how close it is. That really is a five horse race at the moment. But like I just mentioned, Malou's game was called off last week. Whereas Youthy, they lost 4-1 to Northern rivals Ramsey. So they'll be chomping at the bit to get back to winning ways. This is going to be a tough game. Again, it could go either way. I think home advantage might just edge it to Ethi.
I think postponement. Because Skullery Gorry has been decidedly missed rather than hit this season. Hasn't it,
it certainly has, yeah.
So I would say probably off. But if it does, by some miracle, go ahead, Liam. Would you go with Youthy?
Or? Yeah, I'd go with the home team, yeah.
Yeah, and Malou, obviously...
I've no clue about that.
Connor Dowell, I saw, was in Vienna watching Rangers last night, so I don't think he'll be anywhere near...
Don't think so, no. He's probably still drowning his sorrows after they got knocked out, so...
Yeah. Oof. Just clarifying, Dave. Yeah, I was just going to say, clarify, Dave isn't a Celtic fan.
No, no, not at all. I wanted Rangers to win that. And being a Liverpool fan, obviously, I want to see Gerrard do well. So.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So. I heard you're a big party at Thistle fan.
Is that, oh, is that right? You're Alloa Athletic, aren't you? Yeah. So.
Mighty Wasps. That's where Liam's going to end his career in the Scottish Championship.
In real life or footy manager?
Both. James versus Onken. Onken's form has tailed away somewhat in recent weeks. They were. Now, yeah, Jim, can Jim get something out of this?
They certainly could. Jim's, you know, we've talked about it a lot. They've had a bit of resurgence. They did lose heavily to Jim's to Paul Rose last week. But again, most teams are going to struggle against Pulley. Big news with this one, Conor Dempsey has left Onken this week. Right. He has joined the Premier League team. The manager of that team doesn't want me to say. He wants it to be a surprise.
Dave's
tomorrow.
Wicked whispers.
Yeah, but yeah, so Conor's a massive loss for Onken. Obviously, all things aren't well, but maybe it'll force a bit of a reshuffle. Maybe Joe Rees, who's, I keep mentioning him, but he's banging the goals in the combi, and he knows he can do it in Division 2. So maybe he'll start and get some goals. But yeah, this is going to be a tough game. Being that it's in Tramode, it might be hit by the weather.
To be fair, Tramode pitch has been pretty bulletproof this year. They played really the other week when there was hardly anything else on. So
yeah, their groundsmen are doing a great job there. So well done to them. Close game. You know what, I wouldn't be surprised if Jim did get something out of this. I'm going to leave that there.
Liam, do you think the O's?
Yeah, I'll go with Onken.
Yeah, I think Dave Rees will have them set up well. Of course, Jim's his former club as well, so he'd always be quite nice to get a win down there for them. Colby versus Michael United. Colby, another team on the up, aren't they?
They are.
After a horrible start to the season.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got new manager now in place, and they've steadied the ship and brought in some good signings. No more so than Carl Hickey. Last week's result, they were away against Onken. They got that 3-2 win. It was Flash. Steve McIntosh came back to haunt his old club with two goals. Ash Blake played in that one. Now, there was a bit of debate on social media whether he was eligible to play or not. So I don't know whether he's going to play this weekend after his red card against Malou. Who knows? But he'd be a big miss if he didn't. But yeah, I think they'll certainly start as favourites in this.
Any positives for Michael out of this one?
Yeah, well, this is probably one of those, with the way Colby started the season, Michael will have targeted this one. Mm. You know, they've got some good young players there. Owen Hurt's doing well for them. And they keep plugging away, Michael, but I think they'll be underdogs in this one.
Yeah, I'd say a home win.
Yeah, home win.
I'm with Liam.
I'll go with your expertise.
Union Mills versus Ayr United. This could go either way, this one, couldn't it?
Of course, Union Mills flying after last week's result. They thrashed Governors 8-2. Cal Urin got 5 goals in that game, so he's obviously up for it. Ayr's game was postponed at home to D&D, so again, that match sharpness isn't quite there, but... they'll be underdogs, the Tangerines. Mills should just about win this.
Mills win?
Mills,
yeah. Is Liam sticking with his home is best?
Yeah, big Mills. Crowd at Mills tomorrow.
Yeah. It could be windy, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finally, in JCK Division 2 this week, Douglas and District host Ramsey. Ramsey fresh from taking the Northern bragging rights last week with a 4-1 win over then League as you see. So, they should be favourites for this one?
They will be, undoubtedly, but... You know, we could never write off D&D. We said this last week. But
we
always...
try our best every week, but yeah. Dave Matheson writes in and says,
he
corrects us with statistics, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, home advantage, playing on the slope at Nobles Park, it might play into D&D's hands, but Ramsey offline. The way the fixtures have worked with Foxdale and Pulley playing each other, if those teams drop points and Youthy, then Ramsey could conceivably end the day top of the table. It might not happen, but, you know, they've got that in their sights, so they'll be well fired up for this.
Yeah, Ramsey.
Ramsey.
So you're going to change Andy Perry in goal, yeah.
So. Andy Roy Perry, legend.
Legend, yeah.
A former podcast guest, of course. Only
recently.
3 months ago.
Not even that.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
It does.
Although, judging by Liam's face, the JCK Division 2 preview may not have been the most funnest for him.
I think that's just
like now.
Yeah, it's just the podcast, right? Suffering.
Call me Corner Dave from
Yeah, we picked it up last week, but St Mary's emerged just about unscathed from their big clash at Corinthians last week.
5-4 thriller, wasn't it?
Certainly was. The Whites pushed them all away. Adam McCulloch got a brace and there were strikes from Jordan Cowan and Stuart Smith. They threatened to end the Saints' long unbeaten run, but braces from Jamie Skillen, you mentioned him before, and Danny Hutton plus an Anthony Bale strike sealed a dramatic 5-4 win to extend their winning start to 15 games.
So
they're flying. They're 11 points clear. And look, there's 9 games left of the season. You can't really look past them getting that now, but you never know. So
be interesting to see if they can keep the squad motivated to keep trying to win every
Junior
game.
Junior Cup as well.
Yeah.
Junior Cup as well, of course. Yeah, starts. Yeah.
I suppose when you're fighting on both fronts with the first team as well, the competition's fierce, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of training last night, a lot of combi, so that helps.
Yeah.
You doing a bit of coaching there?
I took the session last night, but I mean, I'll go down tomorrow and watch. Be a good game. Mm.
You wouldn't think he's got jet lag, would you? So the Saints are now 11 points clear of Peel, who are second after the Westerners lost 3-2 in the Old Firm last week. Aaron Hawley's brace and a Jamie Johnson strike sealed the points for the hosts.
I believe Tom Johnson, actually, was going to say, come back in that St Mary's game. He came back from one-term injury.
Fantastic.
The left back, he played really well for the first team a couple of seasons ago, so it's good to see him back.
That's good. Another bonus for the squad.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in Combi 1, 4th placed Old Boys, they were held to a 3-0 draw at Douglas Royal, while Laxey got the better of Douglas Athletic 5-3 at Glen Road. So that does point to Glen Road surviving the weather, but you never know. Continuing the high scoring theme of the week, a Mark Neen hat-trick helped St John's win 7-2 at Castletown, while Braddon triumphed by the odd goal in 7 at Moran. Mentioned before, Joe Rees bagged a hat-trick to ensure Oncombe beat Colby 4-2 to remain 9 points clear at the top of Combi 2. Union Mills are second after edging past Governors 2-1, while D&D's fine season continued with a 4-1 win at Ayr, thanks largely to a Conrad Kumar hat-trick.
Big Conrad.
Loves it, doesn't he?
A few goals,
he loves a goal. And the other game saw Jims and Paul Rose share 8 goals in Tremode. Lewis Thompson got a hat-trick for them. Sorry.
Yeah, another goal scorer in form, Lewis.
He's absolutely flying, yeah. Good to see.
A favourite part of the week, Dave. So it's probably not very relevant to Liam, but Dave, when he's not here, obviously, but... Dave reads the weather.
You love it. I should start doing the weather for Nashville, shouldn't I?
It's not look good out there.
No, well, it's quite literally taking my first line off me there. But yeah, afraid it's not looking good weather-wise. It's nice and dry right now, but it's going to get wet and windy later on. It's going to be gales overnight and then throughout tomorrow with more rain and possibly some sleet and snow on higher ground.
Wowzers. So that'll be a Gary Moore.
Pretty much, yeah. So, Liam, don't you wish you'd waited until back in the relative warm 13 degrees of Nashville before shaving your head?
So what?
I had no choice.
What's your percentage of postponements tomorrow, Dave?
70%.
Oof.
I'm going high this week.
Last week we got away with it. I think we're only 4 off yet.
Yeah, we did well.
Your 45% chat was well off the mark.
Which game are you guys going to?
I'm going to go to Russian versus Memphis.
Well, that'll definitely be on.
Yeah,
Russian
I would say so. Look, so we'll, that's my plan. Although I will be travelling with a stinking hangover because it's our works night out tonight.
Yeah, it's the lovely Christmas jumper there, Andy. It's wonderful. Need to get a Christmas jumper with Liam's face on it, though.
Yeah, maybe for next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe get Agent Rashid.
Yeah, official Nashville merchandise.
They do some nice stuff,
yeah,
don't they?
They've released a lot more, like hoodies and stuff. Yeah.
Do they sell them? Do they post and package it all the way here?
I think they would, yeah.
Can we get them signed and then we sell them on eBay for a bit more money?
I don't know if they would sell.
Right, before we go, just mention, have you seen our Manx Footy Pod advent calendar?
You haven't featured on it yet.
I have seen some of the posts.
Yeah, it seems to be going down quite well.
We're struggling to find a way of fitting Liam Doyle into it.
It's hotter than it looks. That's hence why we've had to crowbar a few, Daniel Bentleyham, former...
Went down well, didn't
it? Onca Masters player. I said former Onca player, he's actually still playing for Masters team.
Yeah.
It was Brian, 5 gold rings today. A ring, as in Ringo.
Of course, legend. Yeah.
There's some couple more over the weekend, which I think will go down well. But we'll wait and see. I don't want to hex it. But that's on our social media, so just look at Manx Footy Pod, and it'll appear on there at some point during the day. You mentioned him already today, Seamus. Did you see? We heinously forgot to mention this last week. He signed for a new club, Liam.
Yeah.
Glenoven, or the Lurgan Blues, is it?
Yes. Good start. It's a good move for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're currently third in the Premiership in Northern Ireland. He can't actually play till January, I don't think.
Yes. At least he gets a Christmas break.
The windows open, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll sign. I presume he's training with them, but he will be signing on the... His debut will be in January, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Good luck to Shay.
Adam Long, did you see that this week, Liam? He was playing for Wigan's under-18s in the FA Cup, County Youth Cup, but that's not right, in the FA Youth Cup. They beat Wolves 2-1. So yes, another mega success over Wolves this season. They'll be bloody hate playing us, won't they?
They will. Dean Pennington won't get a look in there.
But yeah, they won 2-1. And I think, did you say they got the next round, Dave?
Hull, I think it was.
So yeah. Hopefully they'll keep that. And they're doing well in the under-18s league as well, aren't they?
They're top by 10 points or something. They're walking.
Section.
Yeah, they're walking away. Yeah,
Adam's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. But when we had him in towards the end of last season, he was very level-headed, a bit like yourself as well. So and he's working hard, so... Good luck to him. I'm sure he'd be probably get. Will he get any time off for Christmas? I'd say so.
I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's that. Well, Liam, thanks for coming in. Thanks for making all the effort travelling in.
All the way for
having me. And fly back tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave will give you your expenses check on the way out.
No, free jam of dodgers.
Good luck for the start of the next season. When's the first round? March, is it?
Yeah, it'd be mid March. Yeah, we'll start pre season like January 20th.
Anywhere nice?
We'll go to Florida. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So, oh, yeah.
10 days, I think.
And you've got a few. What are they called? Scrimmage games or what are they called? Anyone?
Friendlies.
Any MLS action?
We haven't been told yet, so I'm sure there will be.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff. Well,
good luck with all that.
Yeah, good. And, we'll try our best to keep the Manx Football community updated with your progress. Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which includes the previous ones, Liam, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. They're on the iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and of course Google Podcasts.
You always say that so well, mate. Well done.
Cheers, mate. What do you listen to through? Is any? Which do you just click on the link or do you?
Yeah, the link. Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple. Did I say who else has a good podcast? Peter Crouch.
He does. Sure he does.
Very good.
Yeah, but we believe we were his inspiration.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him in sometime. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.